Lord bless you all this morning, saints. Trust you love the Lord this morning. That's why we're here. It's so nice to see you, but I've come to receive from the Lord this morning. So again, just yesterday, you know, what's the point of all of this? If we can't humble ourselves before the Lord, and He can speak to our hearts and deal with our lives individually, so that we might walk with Him, and then walk as a church as well. So we'll just... let's just commit ourselves to the Lord this morning. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, humbly, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you help us, Lord. Lord, we're just mere men, Lord, but we need your touch, Lord. We need your guidance, Lord. We need your help in these dark times, Lord, where there's just so many voices, Lord, speaking, Lord, but we just want to hear your voice, Lord. Lord, and I just commit each one here this morning into your hands, Lord, and those that might be listening in, Lord, those that are away, Lord, we just ask that you'd be their portion as well, Lord, and we just commit all things into your hands and give you all the praise and glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Should we just stand and sing? We're together again.
We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Wherever I go, I'll praise Him with my face. I'll sing to all His love around me like.
You ever get that when you're just following through your day and a song pops up and then you have to sing that? I like that. Let's sing number 372. You ask me why I'm so happy.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I met the sculptors who asked me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They ran beneath the light on the cross of Calvary, and I knew that darkness is from God. In love with me, it's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Cause at the old time altar,
this morning. It's in that third verse, when Satan comes to tempt me. Does he do that to you? Because he certainly does that to me. You know what you do is remind him, it's all under the blood. You can't touch me. Tell you what, he tries to drive that thought though, and it'll only bring you down. He only brings that condemnation on you. And that's not of God. He said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He might convict you, and it makes you sorry, but it doesn't bring you down. Let's sing number 369, I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial throne. I'll fly away. I'll fly away.
and sing number 292, I Have a Song That Jesus Gave Me. We'll just sing one more and then I'll ask Sister Shirley, Sister Mill, if they would bring the item. Now, there was no other items that I was unaware of at all. No. Let's sing number 266, Because He Lives.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came
yeah.
this life is worth living just because He lives. Thank you, Sister Mill and Sister Shirley.
I traveled alone upon this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing.
Jesus and me, and it's Jesus and you. Now we just have prayer requests. I'm just going to ask if Brother Lee would bring these. If you wouldn't mind, Brother Lee. I don't know some of these people, but sometimes it's best when somebody who knows prays for them, so you can pray with a sincere heart. You know, if you have someone that's in need and you know that person, you can pray more earnestly for them. Thank you, Brother Lou.
Lord bless you this morning. There's one here from Brother HT. I don't know who that is. The Lord does. But I'm going to read this one out particularly because it can affect a lot of people that have a prayer request before the Lord. Is to know that don't believe Satan, who blames you for your problem. He's pushing all the time. Anything to get you off the Lord Jesus. And I'll read this. I know that several of my colleagues dislike and perhaps even hate me. I have no position compared to theirs, but they indeed want to make sure that I do not get one. It is difficult for me to face these people. I would like to be friendly towards them, but I feel awkward in their presence. It is possible that I appear friendly. It is just that my thoughts are not in sync with what I would like to be. Neither haughty nor humble, neither irritated nor servile, Brother HT. All the problem is not the other people, it's Satan, the devil, that works through your situation that keeps the pressure upon you. And for those people that are listening in on the internet and the CDs, know that Satan is the one that's Satan. He's the devil. He's the stirrer. And Jesus Christ is the answer to all the needs. There's others here. Please pray for Brother Howard over the next 3 weeks as he ministers in Tucson and Louisville at Easter. Also for Sister June and Tina as they travel to Australia. It's not just words that Howard's going through. We want to speak the right words. Well, you do want to do that, but it's what the Lord wants him to say. And we're praying, when we pray for Howard over there in these meetings, it's that the people will come prepared to listen, to understand they have a need. And that little stirring in their heart, and they are wondering about this thing and that thing, it's Jesus trying to reveal to them. May they be switched on to the Holy Spirit that's speaking to them, not Howard's words, although they are spoken because the Lord gave it to him. Pray for safe travels for the Masons as they travel back to Gisborne from Christchurch this week. Uphold Sister Jenny Frandy as she travels to Canada this week to be with her daughter Debbie. Please uphold Debbie Gilminster, that's Jenny Frandy's daughter, and family at the sudden passing of their husband and father Eric, who is in the presence of the Lord. Another one here from Pascal. Shalom. I'm really in need of a financial breakthrough. I need a new job. My contract ended last month. Since then, I'm jobless and penniless. May the Lord open the door for a new job and business opportunities deals. Regards, Pascal. Just continue to uphold Israel as we frequently do. And even at home, when you're talking to the Lord. Thank our Lord for the many answered prayers that he does for us. We've got to remember that the Lord is the answer to all our needs. And if there's any unspoken prayer requests, just hold them to the Lord now as we pray. Is there any here that anyone has that you would like us that we may not have on our list? Okay. May we just wait upon our Lord. Thank you, dear Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God, the only Creator, the one that loved us, the one that died for us and rose again in victory. We honor you, Lord. That's what we're here for. And people have done the right thing. They've brought their needs before us, that we can join with them in prayer. We may not know all their names and all the circumstances, but you do. We have a confidence in you, Lord, and we know that you love us and love them. And not only that, Lord, you love everybody in the world. You died for everybody. Help those, Lord, that are trying to find God, not in churches, not even in this church. It's knowing Jesus Christ and being in his family. And Lord, just be with these people that they may suddenly realize that the truth is in the scriptures, in the Bible, is what the Lord said is the absolute in the Bible. And that is exactly what we promote here, is the love of God and his care for us. Just be with those, Lord, that want to thank you for answered prayer. We don't know the details. We don't need to know the details. But you've helped them and you've comforted them. Hallelujah. Lord, there's those that write in and call in and say that they heard and listened what was going on. Well, they're a part of us. We may be thousands of miles apart, maybe hundreds of miles, maybe just down the road. Maybe where the Masons are, probably listening in their car as they travel along in the South Island at this time. Whoever it is, Jesus Christ is the answer to our need. And thank you, Lord, that you gave us the medium of praying from our hearts to you, Lord. Thanks for undertaking for all our needs, because you will. We think of our families also. Families, children, we have some, Lord. They know you, they know about you, but they haven't come all the way into the family of God. I pray for them as I do frequently. But everybody's children, everybody's relations, we remember them at this time. Thank you for being with us this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen.
Should we just stand and sing number 200 on Jordan's Stormy Banks? I stand, and then I'll ask Brother Hammett to come.
Thank you.
Trust I'll see you there. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Who's going to be there?
Amen.
We're not trusting, brother, we're believing. We'll be there by the grace of God. Let's see if I can do away with this. Praise the Lord, yes. Bound for the promised land. Eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. That's what he said, and that's what I believe. Praise be to God. He's just so wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior. We just bring greetings to brothers and sisters out there who are joining with us. They said to me yesterday, someone, I don't want to mention names, but they said they're greatly blessed when Brother Lee or Tim or myself greet the saints that are listening in, and we just praise God. And we appreciate everyone that joins with us in the service, because we are all seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. We're bound for the promised land, and we're just believing for that. Just pray for those that are away today, for whatever reason. God knows where they are, that he'll be with them and help them and bless them. Praise the Lord. And we send greetings to the Hugheses right up the coast. God bless you, Brother and Sister Hughes, Bill and Jan, and all the girls. And I know that you're listening this morning, and we appreciate you, and we miss you too. But that's good. We just pray the Lord will bless our time together. So this morning I want to speak about an unusual subject with an unusual title. Brother Tim probably thought it was unusual when he typed it into the video. It's called Orpah's Kiss. Who knows who Orpah is? No one? That's right. Orpah is the sister-in-law. The sister-in-law of Ruth. Yes. Yeah. And Naomi was the mother. And to me, this is a tragic story. It's so true. And I pray that God will speak to every heart that's listening, wherever you may be, here or afar. I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning because it's quite a long reading. And just for some of you here, but you do as you please. We're reading from Ruth chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Somebody's arriving. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. And I should say that I have hope, and if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Just let me drop this in here. The hand of the Lord wasn't against her. It was absolutely of God. Sometimes you think things are going all wrong, but it may be of God. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Oh, I don't know about you, but that thrills me to hear her say that. Where thou diest will I die, and where there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Then she, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. May God just bless the reading of his precious word. I believe that this account was not recorded just to fill the Bible. I don't believe that. The story is happening every day amongst professing believers everywhere, this story. It is a frightening development we see today. May God help us all. God's word has given us counsel concerning this last day problem. I want to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Which says, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So we see, brothers and sisters, it has been prophesied to be this way in the last days as we gather here. We're in harvest time. Who believes that?
Amen.
We're in harvest time when all seeds will show what they are. You know, you may be an expert at looking at seeds. So, oh, yeah, that's a such and such. Oh, that's a so and so. But what will give a definite clarification as at harvest time, when they grow up, oh, I was wrong. It's that. It's something else. Because at harvest time, it manifests what seed what it was. No matter what it may have looked like coming up or whatever. In seed form, you cannot tell what it really is until harvest. And that is very important to know this. My mother one day was in her room. She said, Howard, I said, is it a house? I said, what? She said, come here. She was really excited. And she's looking up a Bible dictionary. She said, look at this. She said, the tear, the sower went out to sow, he went out and sowed wheat, and along came the enemy and sowed tares among the wheat. So the tear is a bogus thing. It's not good. It's like a weed. But they say that the tear and the wheat plant are identical. You cannot tell the difference when they're growing up. Now, this is really interesting. You listen, because what Jesus said about it. Until just before harvest, and they manifest what they are. There's a tear and there's a wheat. And before, when they're coming up, they both look like wheat. Now, that's what the dictionary says. You look it up. The tear and the wheat look the same until harvest. It's important to remember this. Jesus said, let both the tear and the wheat grow together until harvest. Because the worker said, oh, Master, shall we go out and pull the tares from among the wheat? He said, don't do it. Why? Because you'll pull up the wheat at the same time. Why? Because they look the same. Isn't that amazing? You didn't know that, did you? And Jesus said, he said, leave them there until harvest. Why? Because at harvest, you'll see clearly there's the tear and there's the wheat by how they manifest themselves. You can read that in Matthew 13 if you want to know it. And Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Not by how they look when they're growing. They can look pretty nice. And he said that in Matthew 7:20. By their fruits you shall know them. By the fruit that they bear is identification of what they really are. The account of Orpah's kiss and surrounding events is very striking. Orpah's kiss. That sounds so harmless. You see, these people were not of the world. No way were they of the world. And this is sobering. This took place amongst so-called believers. Also took place during the Exodus back to the Promised Land. They're on their way back to the Promised Land. Note that too. And we too have come out of the world. We've come out of the denominations. And we're pressing to that rapture, to enter the Promised Land. And remember, Jesus said these things are written for our example. They are written for our example. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, or examples. And they are written for our admonition. You know what that means? for our warning, for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's now. Who believes we're at the end of the world? Man, you'd have to be asleep if you didn't know that. You don't even have to go to church to know that. Just look at the news. You know, the world knows. It's 1 minute to midnight. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, Paul said, take heed. That means pay attention unto, lest he fall. Now, when I read those things, I take that on board. Lord, that's me too. I'm not exempt out of here. So, we see, yes, they had already left the pagan Moabites behind. They were pagan. They offered little babies to idols. It was terrible. An idolatry that you wouldn't even want to talk about. So they came out of a very evil belief. And so things were looking good. They came out of the Moabites. But brother and sister, we are to go all the way, not half the way. Not some of the way. We're going to come all the way out. The Bible says, come out of her, my people, and stay out. Don't come out and then start wanting to go back. We come out, what for? To join church? Forget it. That's not what you come out for. You come out that you may enter in to a full Holy Ghost experience with God. Amen. I repeat, you come out to enter into a full Holy Ghost experience with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Who wants that? Say amen. Amen. That's what we come to church for, is to get closer to God, be filled with the Spirit. We just yield ourselves to God. Don't give the world an inch into your life, because that inch will become a mile. Don't look back to Moab. Otherwise, you'll perish with them. You know, Lot's wife, she made that fatal mistake. She came out. Oh, she came out of them, my people. She came out and she's walking up the hill and she's going with them, with the group, being delivered from judgment, because judgment's at the door for this world. That is, thus saith the word of God. Judgment is pending. They're preparing all their weapons now for it. It's ready to blow for those who are left here. And we see that she came out up onto the hills. She had left her idols behind, Lot's wife. She walked in the camp of true believers. She did. She came out, but she looked back. God said, don't do that. She did what, contrary to what they said. And what happened? She turned to a pillar of salt. The judgment of God struck her. You disobey God, watch out. And so we see the same here with these young ladies coming out, with Naomi leaving the Moabites behind. Yes, they had left their idols behind, walked in the camp of true believers. They identified with them. And she was even married into the family. Marriage doesn't change your spiritual state. Let me say that. She confessed their God, attended their services. She seemed to be walking in the walk. She seemed to be walking the walk, as they say, with them. In other words, she started off very well. Everything appeared good outwardly. It did. She was one of the believers. She's going with them. But inwardly, a real experience and commitment to God was missing. You see, brother and sister, back to our tears and weep, The tares can look just exactly like wheat, but I'll tell you what, if there's something missing in that wheat seed, in that tare seed, it's not going to be wheat. It's going to be a tare. So let us ask a deep and sobering question. I want us to all answer this in our own hearts. What if your husband died? Or your wife? Would you still follow steadfastly after the Lord? Would you still come to church as you do now? When things are going good and smoothly, it's really easy to just follow along with the others. However, when circumstances greatly change, we can change. What about you, brother? If you lost your wife, sad to say, I have seen this happen. If your wife is taken, would you continue to walk with God? Yes, Orpah, she had a change, but she was never truly in. I want you to note that. It looked like a change, but actually nothing had changed. Something just manifested. Nobody knew that until just before they entered the promised land and manifested. We are just about to enter the promised land. Hallelujah! Who's looking to be in that promised land? Brother and sister, guard yourself against hypocrisy and things that are not true. Stay close to the Lord Jesus with a sweet spirit in prayer, waiting on God. Just reminds me of the foolish virgins. We've said it many times in this church. Oh, they went out. They were going to meet the bridegroom. They had their lamps and they were going to go and they're looking for him to come. They wanted to go with the bridegroom to the wedding supper of the Lamb, the coming of the Lord. But he didn't turn up, as we know, and they all started to slumber and sleep. You read this in Matthew 25. They all went to slumbering and sleeping. And then all of a sudden there's a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And they all arose and trimmed their lamps, and poof, their lamp went out. It's gone out. My lamp's gone out. Run out of oil. They believed they were going to be caught up and going with them, but they ran out of oil. They went asking for oil from the believers. They said, "We've just got enough for us." You've got to have your own experience. You can't live off your husband or your wife. You've got to have your own supply. The Bible says they went to buy oil. When they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those that already went in, and the door shut. They said, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." He said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Wow. I would never want the Lord to say that to me. Seriously, brothers and sisters, doesn't matter what we claim we have or what we've done for God. At the end of the day, I never wanted to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." So this is the situation all through the Bible, these people starting out. But something goes wrong. Yes, Orpah had changed, but she was never really truly in. They did what they did. They enjoyed the blessings of God. They enjoyed the anointings. Because these people do get anointed. Listen to me. You'll hear this message. You'll know I'm telling you the truth. They cried with them, which on the outside looked like real repentance. Oh, it's good. Oh, real tears coming down. Let's look at our story back to Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may rest Find rest, each you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said, surely we will return with thee, sister, and to thy people. We will return. Outwardly, Orpah was one of them. One of them. But she wasn't. We'll see. Great tears of repentance, seemingly. How many times we have seen people show seemingly a great repentance, a real repentance, and no doubt they are sincere at the time. I've seen it in this church year in and year out through conventions. God knows I'm telling you the truth. But their repentance does not go deep enough. It only goes to the spirit realm, if you know what I mean. The soul is never really reached. Think of this sobering thought. Orpah was very sincere with her mother-in-law. She was very sincere with her mother-in-law, but she was not sincere with God. Some go along with the things of God to please others. They actually do. I'm going to read you something Brother Branham says here in a message called Works as Faith Expressed. The Spirit can come out here and anoint you to do certain things. And you do it, but that doesn't mean you're saved. But think of it. This is 1965. Caiaphas prophesied. Caiaphas, the high priest that had Jesus crucified, he prophesied under the Spirit of God. The Bible says so. You read it. Judas cast out devils. Can you believe this? See, the Spirit anointed him. This rain falls on the just and the unjust. The weeds can rejoice with the wheat. But it's what is in the core, inside of the inside. There's where you can, intellectuals can accept and say, well, sure, that looks good. I believe it. That still doesn't do it, he says. No, sir. And the Spirit can actually make witness of it. And still it isn't so. Because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impressions and impersonations out there, but it cannot be real. We know that with a tear. It looks like a wheat, exactly like the wheat in growing, but it's not wheat. He goes on. You can act healing. You can act like you have. You can act like you received it. Christians can act like they're Christians. Act and be ever so good at it. But that doesn't mean they're saved. That's exactly right. See, the Spirit can be there, a real genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. That still doesn't mean you're saved. It's that inside soul that never dies. It's got eternal life. It always was eternal life. Hallelujah. It always was eternal life. It come from God. It goes to God. It's the soul. I belong to God. Do you belong to God? You were born of Him and you cannot be lost. Because you're His. He goes on to say, and you're trying to do God with a service that as will, 1965 also. Now notice in this, now David thought he had everything in order. He was inspired how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man. But it's got to be in the right order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost. And the soul is dark as pitch. You know, brother and sister, I would never, ever want that. You know, I just wouldn't even want to have the anointing if my heart's not right. There's got to be a purity on the inside man.
We're nearing the end, saints, and we must believe all the word of God to the soul. The final test came for Orpah. The final test will come to all. You'll all come to this test sometime in your life. Will you receive and obey all of God's word, or just some of it? Or are you happy just with a little anointing, crying every so often, having a tear here? Many will make the final mistake. They go to church, shout and cry a little, during the week, still looking back. In church, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Tears, but when they get in the week, they're back to the world again. This is what we're talking about. Naomi bade them once more. If you girls care for ease and comfort, then return to your Moabitish friends, she told them. Finally, Orpah, with more tears, kissed a fatal kiss. Now listen to this carefully. She kissed a fatal kiss. The tears were of the wrong kind of tears. Not tears of repentance to the God of Naomi. No, but human affection. Orpah's kiss looked very touching, but it was definitely the wrong type of kiss. Orpah, with much human grief and a respectful kiss, left her mother-in-law and her people and her God. She left Naomi's God at the same time. She chose to go back to her idolatrous friends. While Ruth, with all her heart, clave unto the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for a sister Ruth. She was so important. You know why Ruth was important? Who knows why Ruth was important? She's the great, 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 great grandmother of Mary, who bore Jesus. It was right on charge. It was all in God's care. She was a child of God, our sister. Orpah took the ease and pleasures of idolatrous life, doomed and never heard of again. And she's just right next to it, right next to the seed of God. Walked with them, talked with them, loved them. Human love. Oh, mother-in-law, I'm going to miss you. And she probably meant it. And she forsook her and Israel and her God. Ruth had a steadfast love for God's word and with eternal life. She became, as I said, the great, great, great grandmother. Great, I don't know how many greats I need in there, but there's quite a few greats of Mary, who bore Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. The Bible tells us what you are going to do. Remember, sorry, it's a question that was. What are you going to do? Remember, Orpah made her own decision, and so do you. So many called ones have given that outward kiss of human affection. So many have turned aside from walking all the way to the promised land. They start off, they're enthusiastic, they mean it, they're sincere, seemingly, but not right down into the heart. Yes, God, they called of God. They felt His wonderful anointings, but rejected His precious word He has given to us. Jesus' own disciple, under pressure, gave Him an awkward kiss of betrayal. Saint, these kisses, you got to watch them. Because they look good on the outside, but on the inside it's very wrong. You say, oh, that was Judas. We cannot deny he was called of God because Jesus chose him. He called him to be a disciple. And He gave him an awful kiss of betrayal. What about the 70 hand-picked disciples? Hand-picked by Jesus Himself. Let's turn to John 6:64. But there are some of you that believe not, Jesus said. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. I want to ask you a question. Where did they go when they left? You see, people, they leave churches too. And they just disappear into the mist. You never see them again. They're gone. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There it is. I'm not going back to the Moabitish idolaters. Where would we go, Lord? For Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art, that's Christ, the Son of the living God. Who believes He's the Son of the living God? He's our Lord and our Savior. And brother and sister, you've got to be determined not to just be a disciple following around with the group and going to the meetings. You've got to have a purpose in your heart to go all the way with Christ. You're going with Him to the end. Don't stop halfway and give Him a kiss of betrayal. You wouldn't say that, but your life proves otherwise. There is your Ruth right there, the Peter. Here was another Ruth. Lord, to whom shall we go? You're it, Lord. You are my life. Do you believe the Lord's your life? Yes. Isn't He wonderful? He's our life, and you've got to be fixed in your heart. Not just be a churchgoer and this is what we do, this is what we believe. We believe God sent a prophet. That's very nice, but that does not save you. You've got to be convinced that He's your Lord and your God. Amen. You see, the Scriptures have to be fulfilled. And the Orpahs have to leave. They cannot be a part of the inheritance. They've got to go. In 1 John 2:18, we read, little children, it is the last time. Oh boy, do we know it. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went from us. Why? Because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out
that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Every group has Orpahs and Ruths. The two kind of believers, the real believer and the make believers. We've heard that ministered many times. Every person here has to make that very important decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You mean it. You know you do. And no changing circumstances will alter that. You're convinced. You're sure. Every person here has to make that decision. You see, Ruth's heart was fixed. It wasn't preached into her. She wasn't taught into it. It was a revelation of God. She found the Lord Jesus. Is your heart fixed to go all the way with God's despised few? In Psalm 57, verse 7, David says, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Now it says this in 1 Corinthians, before we close, 9:24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Not just come out the gate, not just climb up the hill. No. "But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain." Run that you may obtain. Run that you may obtain. Don't be an Orpah. Never heard of again. She lost it. She was right in the camp of the believers. She married into the family. "Oh, I'm a believer. I'm a message believer. Whatever you want to call it, I'm in." No, you're not. You're only in when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost and sealed unto the day of redemption. Get it straight, brother and sister. You cannot just make a profession. You've got to be sealed. Sealed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. "Have you received the Holy Ghost," Paul said, "since you believed?" I'm a believer, but have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's always been confirmed with a seal. Orpah's kiss. Very dangerous. Because it looks good and it's wrong. It may have been affection, but she realized she was forfeiting her blessing. When they came, Naomi and her husband all came there, and they were converted to the God of Israel, and they received him. They gave up their idolatry and their idols and everything. They threw all that away, and they took a stand for the Lord, started to grow their hair and dress right. Didn't put a makeup on and all that stuff. Separated. And all of a sudden, when the pressure comes on, when they're coming out to the promised land, the final stage of their journey, she started to say, "Maybe I should go back. My mother-in-law thinks it might be a good thing if I go back with those unbelievers." And she said, "Mother-in-law, Naomi, I love you." She kissed a fatal kiss. She didn't reject Naomi, but she rejected her God. She's lost forever. And brother and sister, you can kiss all you want to. "I accept this. I believe that. I receive this. I receive that." That's very nice. But what about the Lord? Don't be a Judas. He was a disciple. He walked with God. He saw the miracles. He was part of the team. But he sold it out for a few shekels of silver. And he was lost forever.
How do you think Judas will feel on Judgment Day? There's no words can express how he'll feel. You see, brother and sister, Judas actually could have gone to Jesus and asked his forgiveness after all and said, Lord, I don't got into me. And got down and really repented, and I believe the Lord would have forgiven him. But repentance was not in him. The difference between him and Peter, when Peter denied the Lord, we're all vulnerable for these things at times, when the pressure's on. He said, I know not the man. And he cursed and swore, I know not this Jesus. Oh, great testimony. And the cock crew. And he knew he had failed his Lord. Great deep conviction came over him why he was a child of God. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Not false tears, real tears of repentance. And God blessed him. And God filled with the Holy Ghost, and the mighty man of God was he. When you repent truly from your heart, brother and sister, he will receive you. He will despise nobody that truly comes to him. And if you really want to put it right with God, maybe you've gone through the signs of being a real orpah. Oh, what am I doing? Wow, what's wrong with me? Why did I go back and I slipped back and I should have kept serving you and I went back and I played with the world and I flirted with the world here and I flirted here. He'll receive you. If you come in true repentance, he will forgive you. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen. Who loves him? Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Brother and sister, just check your life and say, Lord, don't let me be an orpah. Don't let me give that betrayal kiss. You can kiss a lot of things, but don't kiss the Lord like that. Terrible thing. Shall we stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee. This morning, Lord, sober hearts, because these things are true. They happened and are happening as I speak. There's so many stories we know, Lord, about ministers who have been used of God, mightily used of God, mightily anointed of God. And the sad story is I don't even want to talk about it because it's so grieving to me. They sold you out in betrayal for popularity, for money. Lord, to be accepted. They didn't want to be on the outside. They want to be with the group. And Lord Jesus, we know that many have slipped away. Lord, don't let that be us. Search our hearts, Lord. See if there be something in us that's not true. There's something that's compromising with Thy word. We've slipped up. We're looking back. I pray, Lord, you'll bless every heart here. Bless those that are listening to you, Lord, and you'll search their hearts. Wonder why we miss out with God? Because we're looking back. The Moabites. We're looking back to Sodom. Don't let us do it, Lord. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Pray, Lord, you'll bless every heart now. In Jesus' wonderful name. For your glory we ask this, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Deal with us. I believe it's of you, Lord. I believe, Lord, that you're speaking to hearts. Don't let us just throw it off as, yeah, right. No, Lord. If it's in our heart, we want to come back to you. Bless each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Creator.
We don't feel the presence of God like we used to. Say, Lord, something's wrong. Lord, you're not with me like you used to be. But what's in our heart? Search the heart. Ask God to search your heart if you've got something in there that's unclean, unpleasant, horrible. You'll keep him out because he doesn't come into hearts that are clogged up with unrighteousness. May not look on the outside to be wrong, but you know, and I know. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is a prayer of David. He knew he had to do some praying. He had messed up badly, but oh, he came running back to the Lord. Oh, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, never let you do that. Lord, may I clean myself up. I want to not going back anymore, Lord. I'm running back to thee, the true repentance. Creating. Anyone want prayer? Just feel free to come. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit.
Sing number 333 and only believe. I'd rather have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be here and every. Thank you.
just bow our heads. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, Lord, this morning. Lord, your kindness unto us, Lord, is, Lord, we just don't understand it, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, just to check up on our lives, Lord, in these closing minutes, Lord, of time, Lord Jesus. Lord, we would just take stock, Lord, see where we're really standing, Lord. Lord, lest we might fall, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you are able to hold us, Lord. And Lord, if we just come sincerely and humbly before you, Lord, with, Lord, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, Lord, and we would just be accepted of you, Lord, and abide in your love, Lord, in your goodness, Lord. I just pray a blessing upon each one here, Lord, and those that were listening in, Lord, may they have received from you this morning. May they also just check up, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and glory, Lord. We just pray a blessing upon the food, Lord, and the fellowship that we are about to partake of. And you bring us back at 1 o'clock. We just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.